Next Sunday, Pastor Cameron will be bringing God's Word, and we'll be celebrating our graduates. Cameron, how many do we have? Seven. We have seven this year. Seven for perfection. There you go. And Pastor Cameron will be preaching. Penny and I will not be here. This is we always try to take a break right before the summer schedule starts. And frankly, we're kind of spiritually exhausted with some of the tragedies we've had to work through, and then all that's going on. But we're excited. Then the following week is Mother's Day. And so we're looking forward to that. Can y'all believe it's Mother's Day? It's like 2 weeks from today. Wow. Then the Sunday after that, on the 21st, I'll be here for Mother's Day, and Lord willing, I'll be here on the 21st. But Pastor Gary Crawford is going to speak to us about the work that he's doing now and the mission that he's involved in. And I wanted you to hear about that and to find out about all that's going on. And then, you know, 2 weeks after that, we basically start Vacation Bible School, and the summer is on us. So a lot going on, and so we're putting together our, you know, we put together months ago our whole calendar, but looking at all of it. And so because of that, I haven't found a good place to get back into the book of Acts. So I thought, well, let's just wait until I get back going at it, because next week, graduates, the week after that, we're going to focus on our moms and then on missions, and then we'll get back in the book of Acts. So last week we talked about conquering fear, and I want to deal with that again today in a different way. So conquering fear. I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and then 1 John 4:18. Let's stand together as we read God's Word. John 3, beginning in verse 19. Conquering fear, and I've titled today's message, Fear in the Darkness. Fear in the Darkness. Verse 19 says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. And then 1 John 4:18, we read that last week, but 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, and we know that to be the love of Jesus, perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment or torment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Father, we thank you that we have the answers in Scripture, and we can overcome fear. Thank you that we learned that last week, and this week we'll look into what drives us into that fear and what can keep us there. So speak to our lives today, and I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we talked about the foundation to conquering fear, and we said that it is found in the love of Christ, the presence of Christ, the courage of Christ. There's one other.
Peace.
Let me tell you, my hearing is bad, and what I'm hearing is this is what I'm hearing.
Deesh.
The deesh of Christ. The peace of Christ. Presence, love, peace, courage. Those things. I guess the Lord's given me so much peace, I can't even remember it. And We laid this out last week, and you can see this here. I've talked about this for several years. 365 times in the Bible, the phrase "fear not" is mentioned. And we said fear creates chaos in our lives and keeps us from the blessings of abundant living. The reason I wanted to show you that again is that, you know, we see those things. We recognize that fear creates chaos in our lives. It keeps us from the blessings of abundant living because it puts our focus on those things that we can't control. It creates an unhealthy and even unspiritual sense of I've got to fix it. I've got to take care of it. And if you learn one thing in the growth of your Christian life, and it's this: you're not in control of a whole lot. And if you spend the majority of your life thinking you've got to control all these things, you will live in a constant state of anxiety and fear because there's so many things you can't control. You can control your response to Jesus. You can control what happens within you when things happen. But that's about it, right? You can't control your kids even. You think you can, but you can't, because they have their own brains and their own minds. It's amazing to me when you study the scriptures. You know, this morning we were looking at the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons of Jacob. And right before Jacob dies, he's giving his sons a blessing, and he's also telling them what their lot in life is going to be. And when you look at some of their lives, you know, some of the boys had serious anger problems. And in their anger, you know, they went way ahead of God, and they murdered people in vengeance and, you know, took people's livestock away from them and did all kinds of crazy things. And, you know, so Jacob had some sons that weren't perfect, and they had murder within their hearts. Even Jacob. And yet he had some sons that loved the Lord. And, you know, he had a son in Joseph, and he had Judah, whom Jesus Christ comes through, the tribe of Judah. So you can't control your kids, and you can't control everything that they do. But you can control how you respond to what happens to you in this life. And so I want to give you four things this morning about fear in the darkness. Okay, the first thing is, I want you to see that fear originates with Satan. Fear originates with Satan. 1 John 4:18, you know, we read it, and it says that perfect love drives out all fear. There is no fear in love. And we said, who is love? Jesus is love. Jesus drives out the fear. Because fear has to do with torment and punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Let me ask you this. Who is the one who wants to torment you? Satan. He wants you to be anxious about everything. What does the Bible say? Be anxious for nothing. Amen. Don't be anxious about anything. But Satan wants you and me to be anxious, to be upset, and to have spiritual torment within us emotionally, spiritually, mentally. John 10:10, look at what the Bible says about him. The thief comes, and we know the thief is Satan. He comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. So he's come to steal your peace. He's come to kill you spiritually. He's come to destroy your life. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So fear is driven by Satan. And Satan, when he creates that fear within your life, he can create chaos within your heart. And therefore, you can't enjoy your life the way God would have you to enjoy your life. So it originates with Satan. What did Jesus tell Peter when Peter tried to stop Jesus from fulfilling the will of God? What did Jesus tell Peter? Get what? Get behind me. Get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus wasn't saying that Peter is Satan personified. That's not what he was saying. But what he was pointing out to us was that Peter was being inspired by the spirit of Satan. And Satan was trying to cause Jesus to fear and to disobey God. So fear originates with Satan. Secondly, I want you to see, fear progresses with our sin. So Satan is the one who would love for you and me to fear, but then he takes advantage of our own sin. Look at John chapter 3. It says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. You know what I find as a pastor that, and I understand it, but it still perplexes me, but I understand it. I understand that people or fearful of what other people may find out about them. I get it. But the person that's fearful is the person that is trying to hide something. Amen. And the Bible is pointing out right here that we stay in the shadows, we stay in the darkness because we have something to hide. And when you're living in sin like that, it progresses and it creates fear. And I want to give you a third thing. I'm going through these quick because they all run together, but I want you to see the narrative that I'm laying out for you here. Number three, fear is exposed. It is exposed by light and love. It says, so everyone in verse 20 who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. And then let me give you a fourth thing, and then we're going to talk about it. Fourth thing is this. Fear is defeated by truth. It's defeated by truth. In verse 21, it says here, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, in verse 21. Now look at Ephesians 4, 8 and 20. And then I'll point these four things out to you and how they all fit together. Ephesians 4, 8 through 20, do I have that? Did I give that to y'all? There we go. Thank you, guys. So this is why it says, hang on. Guys, I'm sorry. It's me and I gave the wrong scripture. It's Ephesians 5, 8 through 20. So if you have your Bibles, follow along with me. Ephesians 5, 8 through 20. For you were once darkness. Gosh, these guys are good, huh? They put it up there. I'll slip you a few 20s there after it's over. Oh, that's right. I don't bring my wallet to church. Sorry. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So title this, Fear in the Darkness. Fear is defeated by truth. And fear will drive you and me into the darkness. It really will. And Satan will tell you, if people really knew what you were all about, they would point their finger at you and call you a hypocrite. But you see, here's the deal. People who are saved, who have come to the light, we know the story. That's right. We know what it's all about. We know that everybody's hiding stuff. Yep. The difference is this. A person who is made perfect in the Lord Jesus realizes there is nothing to fear about what you've done or in your past, because you bring it to light in Jesus Christ. I'll counsel couples sometimes. Well, I don't want my wife to know this. Boy, she can. And I'm like, listen, you can't live in the darkness. If you're living in the light, you have to trust God with the truth of the light. You want to have a strong marriage? Have no secrets. People who live with secrets are living in darkness. Live in the light where you shouted from the housetop. Well, if my spouse knows this, they're going to judge me. They won't love me anymore. Well, guess what? They married a very imperfect person. I think they'd actually like to know the truth, wouldn't they? So fear originates with Satan. It progresses into sin in our lives when we go along with it. But the light of Jesus and his love exposes it. And then it's finally defeated by truth. You want to learn how to be a victorious Christian in this life? Let me tell you how. Apply the truth of God's word to every circumstance in your life. You'll start winning. You'll start winning some battles. You take the truth of God and you apply it. You say, well, Pastor, I just don't know about that. Listen, when you come to Jesus, you want to be free. And when he sets you free, you're not worried about what people think anymore. You're just happy to be free. You're happy to be washed in the blood. You're happy to, you know, to have that freedom. Right. One of the reasons why I try as your pastor to be authentic is because I don't know any other way. You deserve to have a pastor who is real and honest and truthful. Now, yes, there are some standards that we have, right, for spiritual leadership and spiritual offices that God gives us. And there are certain things, you know. Listen, some of you go and commit adultery, you may not lose your job, but if I commit adultery, I lose my job and my life. Right? And I should. You can live a life where you pretend to be something you're not, or you can just be truthful about who you are. Because it's the truth of the Lord Jesus that sets you free. That's right. I'm like you in a lot of ways. I struggle to live in this life and to make the right decisions. I struggle with fear from time to time. But I know as a mature Christian that's not the right place, and it's not the spirit that I ought to have. And I realize that you have to attack it with truth. See, fear will tell you, you've been hurt. Don't let them see you hurt. Come back with a vengeance and get revenge. Fear will also tell you, you can't be vulnerable because it'll show weakness. To the contrary, when you know that your life is fixed upon the Lord Jesus, what is there to lose? You become vulnerable, and fear, so fear tells you, don't forgive, don't give room for that. But the truth says, forgive and be free. God will free you. You know what I always say? Forgiveness, or lack thereof, turns into bitterness, and it's the cancer of the soul. It eats you away. And fear causes you to go there. What are people going to think? Well, what you've got to do is you've got to come to the light, come to the truth of Jesus Christ, and let God expose it for what it is. And then let His love take over, and then defeat it with truth. Defeat it with truth. You don't have to live this life in fear. Afraid of everything. Afraid that somebody might find out something in the darkness. The Bible says confess your sins. You know what I like to call it? The Bible's better in that when it says confess your sins to one another. But it's getting ahead of it. Confess your sins, for He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So God says confess your sins. Satan says hide your sin. Hide it. The Bible says in Proverbs that he who covers his sins will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes his sin will prosper. So it's defeated by truth. Apply the truth of God to your situation. You're struggling with some kind of addiction? Man, quit hiding behind what you think people might think. Come to the light of the gospel. Get with brothers and sisters in Christ that can help you walk through it. Be honest about it. You'll find accountability. You know, you won't find judgment there, but you'll find accountability. Because they love you. They want you to grow. They want you to have victory in that area. Amen. Bye. See ya. He got all he can take. That was it. Gone. I'm thinking, we should just wrap it up right there. You imagine if we did that? It's almost 11 o'clock. What would people think of us? See, I'm fearful. I have a reputation to protect. I know what the people in children's church would do. They'll rejoice. I'll get some text messages, some nice text messages this afternoon. No, I don't get mean text messages at all. People are good. So, in closing, now just to warn you, Paul said that and he wrote 5 more chapters. So in closing, the thing that I wanted you to see here today, because this is something that I know people are going through. You're not going to overcome it by hiding it and staying in the dark. And fear is causing you to stay there. And it's energized by Satan. It originates with him. And your sin and wanting to hide it is keeping you there. But be honest about it. Are you dealing with pride? Maybe as a dad, trouble has been created in your family because of your anger, and your pride is keeping you from apologizing to your family and telling them, hey, dad's wrong. I remember several years ago, I accused one of my kids of something. Somehow, some way, I'd convinced myself that they were guilty of that. I actually accused them of stealing from me. And I got so enraged in my mind about it that I couldn't think clearly through it. And I got all of my kids upset and my wife. Things were a mess for a few hours. And as I began to calm down, I started thinking through the process of how I got to the point that I made that accusation. And I realized they didn't steal from me. I'm the one who spent that money. But I had created havoc in my family. Man, a sense of shame and embarrassment came upon me. And then pride. Because I had come to them with righteous indignation, so I thought, and anger, accusing. I created a major conflict in our family. But at the time, I thought one of them had created it. And as a few hours went by, and I went through it all, and then my mind came back to me. And then it started to make sense, and I realized what I had done. Do you know what my first thought was? Don't tell them, and don't admit it. But that thought didn't last long. I knew what I needed to do. But I was fearful of being found out as a person that flew off the handle, as a person that didn't think through things properly, as I feared that I would lose the respect of my children and my wife. I feared that if I became vulnerable and revealed to them what I had found out, maybe they wouldn't stand beside me. Maybe they would say, I have got enough of this. So fear wanted to keep me in the darkness. So I went alone, got alone with God. By then, Miss Penny had gotten home from work. And I came inside, and when I saw her, I began to weep. And listen to me, y'all. I felt so horrible about what I had done that I hit the floor in the kitchen. I fell on the floor. I remember one other time in my life getting it out of me like I did that day, and I yelled out to God, I've ruined my family because of my false accusation and my pride. God, would you forgive me? I spent about 45 minutes on the floor in the kitchen. You know something, when you're on the floor in the kitchen and you're at ground level and you open your eyes, you can see how much the floor needs to be cleaned too. That's how low I was. And in that time, I was letting that pride and that horrible thing that I had done be dealt with by God within my spirit. And then I got up and I said, I've got to rectify this. And I called my children. And I did what I could to make it right with them. Fear wanted to keep me in the dark. But I thank God that I had the truth of His Word. And His light was shining upon the darkness of my sin. And though I had wrecked my family that day, you know what I found when I came to light and I exposed the dark deed or the dark thing that had been done, the thing that was that created the problem and then, you know, so forth and so on there, what I had found out. You know what happened? I found nothing but love and forgiveness by my children. Now you say, why would a dad accuse his kid? It was a lot of money. To me it was. And I had literally forgotten what I had done with that money. With that cash. And as a result, I got fearful. It led to sin. And even more sin. But I got free from it when I applied truth to the entire situation. Do you know that my kids and my wife have never brought that moment up ever again? At least to me, they haven't. I may have talked about it behind the scene. Man, Dad's crazy. Y'all know he's crazy. You believe he did that? Fear will make you do some crazy stuff. And fear will lead you to disobeying God. So I challenge you today, make a choice today to live in the truth. Don't allow fear to push you into the shadows and into the darkness. Deal with it in truth. Come clean. Come to the light. The light is a disinfectant, isn't it? Amen. I mean, I'm a simple-minded man. Remember in COVID what they were telling you? Oh, there's something you need that'll help you. They were right in this regard. They said vitamin D. Well, where do you get vitamin D? Well, you can take it as a supplement, or guess what you can go do? You can go outside and let the sunlight hit you. So think about that. They're saying that a virus can be, you know, kept away from you possibly by the right amount of sunlight. Well, if it can do that for us physically, think about what the light of the truth can do for us spiritually. Isn't that amazing? So don't live in fear. You don't have to. You don't have to. Live in the freedom that you have in Christ. Walk in that. And live the abundant life that God has for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the light. The light is where victory happens. The light is where cleansing happens. The light is where freedom takes place. The light is where healing comes. And that's why I will forever, as long as I have breath in me, preach the truth of God's Word, because I know it's only through the truth that you can be set free. Let's stand together, everybody. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the light. The light of Jesus. Father, in my feeble attempt today, I'm tempted to bring a message, and I hope that it resonated, and I hope that those of us who needed to hear it and receive it, that we heard it and we received it. And so, Father, I pray this morning that set us free. Set us free from the darkness of sin. Set us free from fear. Help us to confess our sin to you. And not be afraid of what others might think because of what we may have done. All that matters, Father, is that we're in the light, and now we can grow, and now we can be healed. So, church, as God is leading you this morning to come to this altar and pray, to lift up your heart to God, to seek the light, you trust Him this morning. For in Him there is no darkness at all. God is leading you to join this church. This is the time to do it. And if the Lord has laid it upon your heart to make a public profession of your faith in Jesus Christ, we have some that we will be baptizing soon within our congregation, and maybe that can be you too. You let the Lord lead you as our team leads us, and we pray it all in Christ's name.